On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doug Kirby.
Well, we thought we'd do something just sort of fun today, and that is to look at a book with the exciting title of 100 Things to Do in Montgomery, Alabama Before You Die. It's from Mary Johns Wilson, and it's published by Reedy Press. This is her second book for Reedy, having previously authored the second edition of 100 Things to Do in Alabama Before You Die. We're narrowing the scope now a little bit. She has spent the last 13 years living in Montgomery, Elmore, and Autauga counties, working with the Alabama Farmers Federation as co-host of Simply Southern TV. She's been these places, she and her husband. And when you write a book like this, part of the fun is researching it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it is. That is a lot of the fun part. It's just kind of figuring out those places that you think, okay, what are the ones that I've gone to or that we continue going to because we just love them so much. And I do have kind of a dirty little secret. I have done 108 things that are in the book, which I know that sounds crazy because it's 100 things to do in Alabama. But some of the entries actually list multiple places. So there are actually 143 things to do in Montgomery, Alabama. So I still have a little bit of work to do to mark some of the things off of my own list. But I know that they have such a great reputation that I knew they needed to be in the book. I just haven't gotten around to doing those yet. So
well, that's understandable. When you got here, you said, wow, there are a lot of interesting things here, but people need to have their eyes open and to be aware of them. But it also helps to have a book like this to sort of get you started, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it really does. And there's so much rich history throughout the river region that it's important to embrace that and to go and visit those places and to see, you know, the full breadth of history that has happened, you know, since Alabama became a state in 1819, right?
Right.
Doing that, I have my math correct there. So there's just lots of great places throughout the river region. And growing up in those, I grew up just outside of Lexington, but then also lived in Lexington for a year and a half as an adult. And that's something my parents really instilled in me was always to, growing up on a farm, if you ever said, I'm bored, then dad was just going to give you a job to do on the farm, right?
Right.
So you learned to never say I'm bored, to find those fun, different, unique things that people were doing and just appreciate the work of others because, you know, it's not easy to run a volunteer-driven theater program, but we have 4 great ones just here within the river region, along with an actual professional theater group, too. So lots of, hopefully I can help guide people along that way of finding some of the things to do in the river region that maybe they haven't heard of, even if they are lifelong residents here.
I'm a lifelong theater fan, and the fact that Montgomery has half of all the Shakespeare professional theater companies in America are in Montgomery.
Yes, and that's a big deal. And when you see the quality of work that comes out of the Shakespeare Festival, it's just amazing. My sister was actually a theater major, so the ones at the Shakespeare Festival are just the highest quality. And they're right here. You've just got to, clear out your schedule and buy a ticket and go watch some plays and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. There have been a number of people who have become big deals in movies and especially on television who came out of the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. They were professional actors starting out, and this is one of the places, like we said, there's only 2 Shakespeare companies, professional Shakespeare companies in the entire country, for that matter, in the entire continent. And we have one of them in Montgomery, which is really wonderful. And it isn't all Shakespeare. There are all kinds of things that they do there, but they do Shakespeare as well. So if you're a fan of the Bard, it's really the only place to see professionals doing shows like that. They're also the Montgomery Performing Arts Theater, which is downtown. They have all sorts of professional musicians and so forth that come there, correct?
Oh, they do. Yes, you can see all kinds of great shows. I enjoy the comedians that they have coming through there. Nate Bargatze was there recently. They're getting some really big names. And, as everyone kind of, I think we're all getting back to being comfortable being in those big group settings and all. it's great to just go and enjoy a night of laughing or a night of really good entertainment from some top-notch names. And they even get some really just fun things, whether it's kind of children's events. I know there's a Jurassic World type dinosaur event coming there soon, or I've seen that like you can play like a Price is Right type game. They do those kinds of things sometimes too. So always a full calendar of events through Impact, through the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, that you can easily find online and figure out a date for something that works for you.
As a matter of fact, I saw Chicago there a couple of years ago, and we were able to get really excellent seats for a relatively reasonable price. Those are professional places, but there are also places you can go that are not for professionals necessarily. Mm-hmm. The Montgomery Symphony, there are some professionals, but mostly they're volunteer musicians.
That's right. Yes. And one of the best is coming up at Memorial Day weekend. They play the symphony orchestra plays out on the lawn of the Capitol building. Yes. And that's just a really fun way to enjoy that weekend.
Kind of a related thing in the Montgomery Chorale.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure of singing with them probably 10 years or so ago. Yeah, I sang with them. Yeah, I sang with them for two or three years. It just got to be difficult making the drive to Montgomery, but I sure enjoyed getting to be a part of them. And I still enjoy it when they do the Messiah sing-along in December every year.
They do, yes, which is a lot of fun. I've actually been singing in the Montgomery Chorale this past year too for the first time. So yes, I never a soloist, but I can match the people around me, so I can be part of a a group of voices. But along with that Messiah sing along, those two groups, the chorale and the symphony orchestra, come together each year for the symphony orchestra's Holiday Pops concert. So I know that right now, weather in the 80 degrees and all of that is happening, so Christmas is way back in our minds and all of the holiday season, but it's just one of those things that is so special about the River Region to get to hear so many talented musicians all come together for that Holiday Pops concert.
There's also a municipal band in Montgomery that is volunteers, and there are a couple of bands that are dance bands that I've played with, the Recreators and the Upbeats, that perform at all sorts of activities. So those are folks you can look for. You have four different local theaters that are all volunteer theater companies, and they're in Montgomery and Wetumpka and Prattville and Millbrook. So
that's right.
That's one of those multiple ones that you've got in here.
Yes, that's one where, you know, it depends on, you know, if you get the book and you're wanting to check off all 100 things, you can kind of do it in two different ways. Maybe if you've gone to the Cloverdale Theater, you could go ahead and check off that whole entry, or you could say, I'm going to actually, you know, make the effort to go see plays at all four. So just kind of depends on how much you want to try to get off of that bucket list. But I've been to some of the Prattville Off-Broadway Theater productions. I had a friend who was in some of those, and there just really is amazing the kind of talent that we have in this area and just the production quality that comes out of these volunteer theater groups. It just makes for a really fun night to go and enjoy some of the work that they do.
Absolutely. In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Mary Johns Wilson, the author of 100 Things to Do in Montgomery, Alabama, Before You Die. It's from Reedy Press. We're mostly talking about places and things so far, but there's a lot of stuff that's in the area. One that's close by, and I've taken my two oldest grandsons to see this place before, that's the Alabama Safari Park that's in Hope Hall. And this has got to be one of the great unknown cool places to take kids to see.
Yes, and I'll tell you, the first time that I tried to go was actually during the pandemic, and they were turning people away because there were so many cars trying to get in there and get through.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that, you know, that was one of those places that was still open throughout the pandemic, and you can see so many different kinds of animals. At the end of the drive-through safari, there's also a lot of animal experiences that you can have, whether that's walking through and feeding parakeets or feeding giraffes and honestly, I think they're adding to it, all the time. The last time I was there, they had big plans for food and making the giraffe exhibit even a little bit more interactive than it was. But it's a really fun way to spend an afternoon. And one of the things that I really wanted to do in the book was, of course, we know the big cities, right? We know the big four of Montgomery, Prattville, Millbrook, and Wetumpka. But I wanted to get people out a little bit in some of the entries. I wanted them to go to Hope Hole or Pentwallow or Otagaville or even Eclectic, just to appreciate that even in these small towns that you may not think about very often, there are dedicated business owners and people who are just trying to offer something to make life better for others.
Just to let people know, there are 350 acres in this Alabama Safari Park. More than 45 species roam the park, and you drive around on a route. And if you want to feed them, you can buy food and roll your window down and let them stick their head in your car. Don't take little bitty kids. Just saying that,
right.
That you know, if you're eight and up, you'll be fine. But 4-year-olds probably would kind of look askance at a giraffe head sticking in your window.
And if you have those older kids, they'll even let you ride in the, like if you have a truck, you can throw them in the tailgate and ride through that way. So that kind of makes for an interesting trip through.
Also, the Harriet II riverboat. I have not gotten to do this, and that's been one of those things that has been on my list for a long time. Tell us a little bit about the riverboat. It was named in honor of the original one that was a cotton riverboat, right?
Right. Yeah, of course. That was cotton was so important to this entire area. And if you go down to the riverfront in Montgomery, there's even still some remnants of some of the ways that they used to get all of the big cotton bales onto the riverboats. So the Harriet II riverboat now is a great place to just enjoy a cruise down the river. The ones that I've done, they've had, jazz bands playing so you can enjoy dancing, enjoy a meal if you sign up for that kind of a cruise. And it's really fun if you happen to sign up for an evening cruise the same night as the Montgomery Biscuits have their fireworks, because then you can enjoy the fireworks show over the river on the riverboat. And it just makes for a really special evening.
And that's a good point, too. Lest we forget, a professional minor league baseball team, the Montgomery
right.
Biscuits, and they play all summer and into the fall.
Yes, they do. And it's, how many semi-pro leagues can you actually go to the stadium and order the mascot and eat it if you want?
Yes, indeed.
Got to get a chicken biscuit with some Alaga syrup. Enjoy that. And then if you're like me, you've got to get some Dippin' Dots as well whenever you're at the ballpark. And the history of that building as well, it's one of those special places in the river region that it's America's pastime. There's a lot of history to appreciate and just fun for the entire family right there at the riverfront.
I have had a student at the university where I teach, I've had students that tell who are from Prattville, and they say, oh, yeah, we do a great Christmas thing in Prattville. And I thought, gee, I wonder where. And then, so when I asked them, one of them did a speech about it and said, let me show you the pictures. And I was really impressed. But as it turns out, that is not the only time that they party hardy in downtown Prattville, is it?
That's right. Downtown Prattville has a lot of holidays. The two biggest ones that they do are around Halloween and then also around Christmas. So at Halloween, they do something called the Parade of Pumpkins. One of the interesting parts about Prattville, if you ever go down there was a cotton gin factory. So it's actually a factory where they made cotton gins and lots of other things. And a number of years ago, part of that building burned on one side of the creek. Now, the other building still exists. Of course, it's been made into these wonderful luxury apartments. But because that other half of the building burned, it's kind of left Prattville with this really beautiful green space that wouldn't be there otherwise. It would be buildings or parking lots or something like that. So they have lots of space to put out hay bales and for people to bring pumpkins that they have, usually that they have painted, because they do stay outside for a long time, and painting them means that they'll stay preserved much longer. So Anyway, there's just pumpkins all over the city. They've added speakers, so they kind of have spooky music playing. And then as you walk along the back of the buildings in downtown and along Otaga Creek, they also have a glow trail where they have basically a whole bunch of black lights and pumpkins that glow. And it's just, it's so cool. And then you can walk on the other side of the riverfront, and they've added bourbon barrel jack-o'-lanterns on that side. So really, you can just go to downtown Prattville, whether it's at Halloween or at Christmas, because they have a parade of trees at Christmas. I probably have said the wrong name. It may not. It's Parade of Pumpkins. It's the Christmas Tree Trail. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And they even have an ice skating rink down there for the kids. And they bring in food trucks, and it's just decorated so beautifully. It's like the best Hallmark movie that you could imagine.
I like canoeing. I haven't gotten go canoeing in a very long time, so I was kind of excited about two different things that kind of relate to that. One of them is in Wetumpka, the other is in Prattville, that have to do with either kayaking or canoeing.
Otaga Creek runs through downtown Prattville. It's why Daniel Pratt decided to build the town there. And you can canoe it. You can try floating it, too, if you want, in like an inner tube. But you do need to, it is a creek, so how much rainfall we've received is more important for a creek than it is for a river, to make sure that you have a good flow rate and all of that. The Otaga Creek, there is a Facebook page that you can follow to make sure that, you know, the water levels are high enough for your canoes or kayaks. And then, of course, Coosa River Adventures. You can do a whole kayaking experience through Coosa River Adventures, which takes you up to the dam on the Coosa River, almost in Tallahassee, and you just get to kayak all the way down. There's even some Class 2 rapids in one area at Moccasin Gap, which is fun. Or you can do kind of there's a whole bunch of rocks there at Moccasin Gap. So if you go one side, it's Class 2 rapids. If you go another side, it's a little bit easier. As you head back into Wetumpka, it kind of becomes a little bit more still, and it can be a good workout if you're on a kayak and it's a low flow day from the dam, but it's also just still a lot of fun, and especially for those who enjoy outdoor adventures. The Coosa River Adventures is definitely something that you need to check off of your list.
Now, this one really surprised me. I had never heard of this. This is something in Prattville called Wilderness Park. It's full of bamboo. That's interesting and unique thing about it. And and you say in the 60s, the land was used for military training as it resembled conditions troops might experience in Vietnam.
Yes, it was. It was. Now I can't vouch for which parts of that area, you know, were used for that different kind of training. But now the park, it has one little dog leg, and then it goes into a circle trail. It's a really easy walk, but you're surrounded by bamboo the entire time. And when you circle around, there's also a little pond there, so you can always have fun counting the number of turtles that are sitting on logs in the pond. And there's even some little places that if you want to go on an adventure, you can kind of veer off the trail just a little bit, not too much, but there's a few little streams and stuff over to one side. And it's just obviously a very unique ecosystem, unique surroundings that you don't normally see in Alabama. You expect to see that on a completely different continent, but bamboo grows pretty well. So
somehow I'm not surprised. I mean, look how well kudzu grows, and that's from the Orient too.
Right. Yes.
Now there is also, let's see, let me find it. You have the Alabama Nature Center. It's a great place to do some of that too. But if you'd rather not be all that busy on a day off, you want to do something that's just sort of fun and you get to eat ice cream, the Blue Ribbon Dairy in Tallahassee.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I had not thought about that place.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's just barely on the Elmore County side of the line. But Michaela Sanders Wilson is a numerous generation farmer there who has brought the dairy back to life. So she milks cows twice a day, and when they have bottle fed calves, they allow visitors to feed those calves. I think it's at 3 p.m. each day, but you can double check on their Facebook page and their website to make sure. And it's also a really good idea just to make sure that they have calves because, you know, at different times of year, sometimes they may not have a calf to feed. But there on the farm, they also have a store where you can go in and buy their milk. But the real treat is all of the different ice creams that they make with their milk. So, I mean, there's just so many different flavors, so many things that you can enjoy. And I grew up a farm girl in a small town, so I have a soft spot in my heart for anybody who has that same love for farming and has such a love for farming that they're investing everything into it and bringing it back to life and sharing it with the people around them. So Blue Ribbon Dairy is definitely one to try. Of course, you can find their milk in grocery stores around the area as right. well. So if you don't want to even get that far out to the farm, I guess technically you could check it off your list if you've had Blue Ribbon Dairy,
I suppose,
from one of the grocery stores. But I think you really need to get out to the farm and just enjoy. You can even see them bring them into the milking parlor and milking the cows too. So that's something else that they open up to the public.
For those people who have ever heard the song Stars Fell on Alabama, maybe you don't, that this was actually inspired by a meteorite shower back in the early part of the 19th century. And you can go to the Wetumpka Impact Crater, and this is one of 30 confirmed impact craters in the United States, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. And it's, you know, really when you're in kind of downtown Wetumpka, you have to, it helps to have somebody who can point out the different things to you about where the impact crater is. And then throughout town, there's a driving tour. So you can go like the new, the park, the athletic fields there. There is a poster kind of in that loop that's near the archery part of that park. And I can't think of the name of the park, of course. But then there's just other ones all around town. And I know they just opened a museum as well, which I've been meaning to look up all the details about that to be able to share it, because that's one of the things about writing a book. It's wonderful, but from writing to publishing, there's always like that 3 or 4 months and something in that book, in those 143 businesses or activities that you pick to share. Something's going to change. So that's one that even has something newer than what you'll find in the book with the Wetumpka Impact Crater. But it's exciting to see that kind of progress being made and to see new things opening where they're telling fun stories. Plus, you know, they lean into that Impact Crater thing with the dinosaurs and the meteorite coming toward them. There's a big mural painted in downtown that has that on it. So they have fun with that for sure.
I know that our time is running a little short, and we haven't talked about any of the food. We haven't talked about any of the shopping or fashion. There's a lot of that in there. But my favorite section, which means we're going to have to zip through it, is culture and history. There are lots of historical places to see from that have a relationship to the civil rights movement, that have a relationship to the Civil War, that are just old, or that were the old Alabama town, the original capital, and Fort Toulouse, Fort Jackson Park. That is a very cool place that I've never got to see. And when I saw it in the book, I thought, yes, I've been meaning to go see that. I need to take her advice and go see it, by golly.
Yes. And the living history that they do annually is just wonderful. I think they do one in spring and one in fall. So it's great. Yeah.
And there is one other. Yeah. Now, you absolutely should see the Rosa Parks Museum, Dexter Avenue, King Memorial Baptist Church,
the National Memorial for Peace and Justice.
It is powerful. Wow. You just need to see things like that. You just need to remember and not just pretend bad things didn't happen. But there's also the Fitzgerald Museum, if you just like F. Scott Fitzgerald. You know, his wife, Zelda, came from Montgomery.
He did, yes, and they met here. So, according to tradition, I guess.
Yes, yes.
They met here.
And they were the perfect jazz couple. So,
yes.
Interesting life that they had, and kind of a star that burned brightly and then burned out pretty quickly, but it still makes for interesting. And gives you an idea of what celebrity journalism was like a century ago, right? Because it was the 1920s.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and then you also get to learn a little bit about their daughter, too, who was a Montgomeryan, or who moved back to Montgomery later in her life.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And there is something that I had never heard of this until I read your book. The Air Force Enlisted Heritage Hall that's on Maxwell Air Force Base Gunner Annex. And this is very cool. Tell us about this.
Okay, so this is one I actually didn't know about it either, but I found out about it through the TV show that we do, Simply Southern. We have a number. There's two co-hosts and another reporter. So one of our reporters, Melissa Bowman, actually went out and did a story at this Enlisted Heritage Museum. So it tells the story of all the enlisted men who have been in the Air Force, which, that even includes, like, Morgan Freeman and some names that, and I shouldn't just say enlisted Air Force, enlisted military.
Oh, okay, right. So
enlisted in any branch of the military. So you get to see all of these stories of people who, you know, they weren't officers. They necessarily, they truly just came in and were enlisted men. And there's really interesting parts of that too, where you learn about, like, the history of air warfare, I guess. So where they talked about using, like, hot air balloons and that kind of thing, which you just don't even think about that being viable or high tech.
Right.
But at one time that was kind of a high tech way to do surveillance and all. So it's a very interesting place. It's a moving place that just pays tribute to the men and women who are willing to give it all for love of country.
There certainly are lots and lots of wonderful things to get to do and see in Montgomery and around Montgomery. And we encourage you to get a copy of Mary Wilson's new book, 100 Things to Do in Montgomery, Alabama Before You Die. It's from Reedy Press, and you can. I'm sure that you can find this at bookstores everywhere, and also lovely little books like this are often found in the most peculiar places. Drugstores and other tourist places, because we do live in a beautiful, pretty good sized state, and there's all sorts of things here. Alabama the Beautiful. That was our slogan for a long time. So.
Yes.
Thank you so much for making time to talk to us today, and we certainly encourage people to look for a copy of 100 Things to Do in Montgomery, Alabama Before You Die from Reedy Press.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Our thanks again to Mary Wilson, the author of 100 Things to Do in Montgomery, Alabama Before You Die from Reedy Press. Thanks so much for joining us on The Bookshelf. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station. And on your favorite podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com. Tell your friends who like podcasts also that they can find me, all right? We have over 500 interviews that are archived there, and there'll be more to come. So we'll see you next time. Until then, thanks for listening, and God bless.